Open your Bibles today to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read verse 30. Acts 16:30. Well, let's just start with verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for your mercy. Lord, we should all, even this very day, be in the depths of hell. But you saved us and you opened our eyes, and we thank you for your mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to preach today. I pray that if anybody here that is not saved, that does not know where they'll spend eternity, that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord, that you would encourage us, you remind us of the basics of the gospel, that we would be able to understand it and make it understandable to those we preach to. In Jesus' name I pray. It's a good question. In fact, it's the most important question you will ever ask in your entire life. What must I do to be saved? If you haven't asked that question, if you never asked that question, you're still missing something. Something is still missing. I mean, you may know all the answers to everything. You may know all the answers to how to get rich, or how to get a good education, where to get good education. You may have all the answers to how to be healthy and how to eat right and how to exercise and where to get the best meal. And you may have all the answers. You may know where to invest. You may know which is the best mutual fund and which is the gives you the best return. And you may have it all figured out, but there's one thing that you may have never asked. You should ask that question. What must I do to be saved? You see, because I don't care how well you invest or how well you eat or how much you exercise, sooner or later, you're going to die. It doesn't matter who you are, how much you earn or how smart you are, you're going to die one day. You better face that. You better face that now. And you better ask your question, what must I do to be saved? And if you think that you're going to die and just be eaten up by the worms and that's all there is to it, you're wrong. You are wrong. There is something after this life. Jesus Christ himself said, he said that there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. There's no reincarnation, my friend, but there is a resurrection. You're not going to become some other kind of an animal or some other human being or what, who knows what else people think about these days, but you will rise again from the dead and be judged by an almighty God. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is a judgment. A judgment coming, and it's going to be a righteous judgment of a righteous God. How will you do before a righteous God? What must I do to be saved? Well, you know, if you want to know how to invest money, you'll buy a book on investment, won't you? If you want to know how to fix a car, you'll buy a children's manual. Well, if you want to know how to be saved, you better open your Bible. You better open the Word of God and find out what you must do to be saved. That is the answer book. You know, I like going to bookstores, used bookstores and stuff. And I remember a few years back, I was really full. I saw this book, you know, on the shelf, and it said something like, "The Bible for Windows." I thought, "Oh wow, cool! The Bible, some book on the Bible." You know, get it down, and it's a book on Windows operating system, you know, all the answers to how to run Windows. Now, why would they use a title like that? Isn't that something? The Bible for Windows, or, you know, the Mechanics Bible, or the Computer Bible. And it's just advertisement, it's propaganda to get you to buy that because they know that the word Bible commands respect and it says this is a book that will tell you everything you need to know about this subject. Let me tell you something. This is the Bible for sinners. This is the Bible for salvation. This is the Bible for getting to heaven. It will tell you how to be saved. You don't need to read the Quran. It won't give you any answers. Give it a shot. You'll find out. You don't need to read the Book of Mormon. It won't give you the right answers. The Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible. And yet Mormons insist they believe in both. And that's really interesting, you know. They contradict each other, but they believe both of them. They don't believe both of them. Don't you believe that a minute. They believe their Book of Mormon. They pretend to believe the Bible to get their foot into your door. They don't believe the Bible. They believe their own book. Well, You need to read the Bible if you want to know how to get saved. If you don't want to know how to get saved, you should still read the Bible because God can speak to you through His Word. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Why don't you just invest some time every day reading your Bible? Start with the book of John. Open up the book of John and read the book of John and you will find answers that people have been paying psychiatrists for years. You'll find answers that people have been looking for in religion and in drugs and in everything else and never found them. The Bible has the answer. And it's not as difficult as some people think. What must I do to be saved? Well, if I were to ask that question to some of you today, your first answer might be, well, you gotta keep the Ten Commandments. I mean, after all, it's in the Bible, right? God gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us His law, and you gotta keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's a fair answer. I mean, I'll admit that that's in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, but I'll ask you the same question. You wanna be saved? You have to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, let me ask you this. Do you keep them? Do you even know them? Oh, of course you do. Thou shalt not kill. 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 Isn't that the truth? How many people today, if you ask them, are you going to go to heaven? They say, well, I haven't killed anybody. Hey, guess what? There's 10 commandments. And they're all different. But some of you think that there's only one commandment or that the one is repeated 10 times. And you think, well, since I haven't killed anybody, I'm going to be all right. I got news for you. That's just one commandment. Look in the book of Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That is the first commandment of the 10 commandments. All right? Now, this... Remember, verse 4 is the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Now, some of you people were raised in a Roman Catholic religion, and I'm not going to condemn you for it. That's how you were raised. It's not your fault to a certain age. But you know, some of you were taught that the second commandment is actually in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we'll get to that in a minute. But you were taught that that was the second commandment. You were taught that the first commandment is have no other God before Him. And then number 2, don't take God's name in vain. You never even knew that God forbids you to bow down before an image. And you were raised in a religion that taught you to bow down on your knees before an image of Mary or an image of Jesus or of the saints and to pray to them to help you. And you probably never even realized until someone opened the Bible and showed you. Do you know the Ten Commandments? If you are an idolater, if you bow down your knees before a cross or before an image of Mary or an image of Jesus Himself, I'm not sure how you would know it was Jesus. I mean, I never saw Him. How do you know it's Jesus? You got Jesus in your room, in your house? Are you sure it's Jesus? Be careful. Maybe it's actually Judas. Huh? I mean, the Bible says that the devil himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You think the devil cares what the image looks like? The devil don't care. As long as he's got you on your knees before an image made out of wood or stone or paper or whatever, he is happy. He is content. You know why? Because God said you shouldn't do that. If he can get you to bow down before it, then he has won. So you better be careful. But if you bow down before an image, my friend, God says you don't keep the Ten Commandments. You have broken it. I don't care if you haven't killed anybody. That's not the issue. That's just one of the 10. How about number 2? Do you keep number 2? Look at number 5. Verse 7, I'm sorry. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, you say, I'm not an idol worshiper. I have never bowed down in my life to an image. Good for you. How about this one? Man, I bet not a person in this room hadn't committed this sin. At least before you got saved. If you're still doing this, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you get upset and say, oh my God, or if you say, see something like September 11th and say, oh my God, that is wrong. God said, don't take his name in vain. Now, if you're praying, like Brother Kincaid was saying, he's out there in the ocean and his kids are drowning, and you're actually praying to God saying, God, save me. Okay, that's another story. But if your friend tells you some story that is just unbelievable, and you say, oh my God, that is wrong. That is sin. That offends God. Amen. You shouldn't take God's name in vain. Oh, I cringe when I hear people say, Jesus Christ. Hey, you don't know him. What are you saying his name for? Jesus Christ. Oh, that is offensive to God. You gotta keep the Ten Commandments. Is that what you think? Is that what you're trusting in today? Do you really think that you got a chance to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments? Is that your hope? Is that what you're counting on today to get you to heaven? Is that you keep the Ten Commandments? You know better. You know you don't keep them. Verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. How about that one? You haven't killed. How about bearing false witness? How about lying about your neighbor? Look at the one before that, verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Careful. We ask people in Poland all the time. We're on the streets talking to people in Poland, you know, and this subject comes up quite often. Oh, I never stole anything. Well, you know, in Poland, most everybody gets around on buses and trams and subways. And you have to buy the bus ticket at a little shop. And then when you get on the bus, you have to stamp this ticket with a ticket stamper. And you would be amazed how many people day after day try to get away with not stamping their bus ticket. I mean, they've got people that ride those buses and trams and subways all day long just trying to find the thieves. They're on the bus, you know, and they're just standing there real nonchalant, you know, just, and the bus goes one stop, the people get on, doors close. And this guy is just an innocent bystander, you think. He turns around, takes his badge out, and says, let's see your ticket, young man. Young lady, your ticket. Oh, man, you're a sauce. People start running and getting nervous, you know, and fidgeting and trying to hide behind other people, you know. It's amazing how people try to skip out paying a 50-cent bus fee. And they say, I don't steal. Liar. You do steal. Pay all your taxes. Pay them all your income. Huh? Careful. Thou shalt not steal. Well, you know, I mean, Uncle Sam got enough money already. Hey, that's a good excuse. It'll get you out of jail. Don't worry. You're safe. It'll work every time in IRS court. Don't worry. People think that they actually keep the Ten Commandments. Do you think that? I hope you don't. I hope you realize that you don't stand a chance getting to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. Besides, you probably don't even know all of the commandments. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. That hurts. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's, nor his car, nor his computer, nor his television. That's the revised Joey version. The list goes on and on and on. Anything. It don't matter. Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Are you content with what you've got? You think that since you didn't ever kill anybody, that makes you righteous before God? You think since you don't murder, that means you are innocent? Jesus said, God said, if you covet things that belong to somebody else, if you're not content with what you've got, that's sin. What chance do you have today to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? You don't stand a chance. You know, I asked a guy one time in Poland, on the street, you know, I said, sir, what do you think the man has to do to be saved? Oh, I'm sorry, I messed it up. I said, sir, do you know where you'll spend eternity? He said, I have no idea. And I think he was honest. I think he was sincere. I don't think he had any clue. Like most people today don't have a clue. Where will you spend eternity? He said, I don't know. I said, well, what do you think you have to do to go to heaven and to escape hell? He said, I think I keep the Ten Commandments. I said, okay, do you keep them? He said, no. I said, then why don't you know where you'll spend eternity? Isn't it pretty obvious? I mean, if that is the way to get there, and you know you don't do it, you should know exactly where you're headed. Do you know where you're headed today? Oh, you know all the right answers. I mean, you've said it many times. You gotta keep the Ten Commandments. Hey, don't you realize you have condemned yourself? Jesus said, by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. If you, with your own very lips, have said, yes, to go to heaven, I must keep the Ten Commandments, and you, with your own lips, admit, you know, I don't always keep them, then you should know exactly where you're headed. You're headed for an eternal hell. And your own mouth has condemned you. You said it. I didn't even force you to say it. I didn't make this man say this. Really, he caught me off guard. As soon as you said it, it just dawned on me. Well, mister, then you ought to know where you're going. You're not going to make it because you have condemned yourself. How about you today? Are you condemning yourself and not even realizing it? Well, usually, people say you gotta keep the Ten Commandments until they get caught. Then they say, well, you know, I mean, of course nobody is perfect. Well, okay, I'll admit that, but hey, you're the one that said you gotta keep the Ten Commandments, and wasn't my answer, it was your answer. Well, come on, I mean, be for real. I mean, who can keep them? That's a good question. I mean, who can keep them? I mean, as long as you do your best, I mean, it's okay. Well, that sounds real good too, doesn't it? Just do your best. I haven't found that in the Bible yet. Have you found it? Have you found the Bible that says you have to do your best to get to heaven? You know what? It doesn't say that. We're going to see some things today that you may have never seen. I'm going to show you today some things that make it obvious, very clear, that doing your best to get to heaven is not the Bible answer. You may think it sounds good. You may think it sounds godly. It may sound to you logical, but it's not Bible. And by the way, tell me honestly, do you really do your best? Huh? Do you really do your best? Well, you know, as long as I do my best, you know, I'll do the best I can, I'll get there. Who are you trying to fool? You do your best? Really? You do your best to love your neighbor? How many times have you gone out of your way to help your neighbor, even when he was spiteful and hated you and spread lies about you? That's what loving your neighbor really means. I mean, it's a piece of cake to love your neighbor when he's, you know, when you're his hero. When he takes you fishing every weekend and doesn't charge you a dime. That's pretty easy to love your neighbor when he's helping you out, isn't it? But when he is against you and hates you and spreads lies about you, do you love him then? Do you do your best to love him? Come on. Really? You do your best? You do your best to really do right all the time? You do your best to not get angry and lose your cool? You do your best to keep your tongue, to not gossip about your neighbor and about your coworker, about your boss? You really do your best? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, a verse you ought to consider, Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus is our example. He never sinned. And if you could be like Jesus, you wouldn't need to be here today. If you were as good as Jesus, you wouldn't need this sermon today. But are you? Are you really as good as Jesus? It says here that Jesus endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You know how far he endured? All the way to the cross. All the way to death. All the way to blood. When is the last time you decided it's better to shed blood, your own blood, than to sin? Huh? When is the last time you said, you know, this is wrong, and I ain't going to do it. I don't care if I just give my life. I ain't going to do it. Come on. You give in so easily. It doesn't take but just a little bitty voice. You know, oh, come on, you know. Nobody's watching. No one will know. It won't hurt nobody, really. I mean, it's just a little bit. It's just a little gossip. It's just one movie. It's just one this, one that, you know. It's not a big deal. It's just a few dollars on your income tax return, you know. I mean, really, who knows about it? Who'll find out? Have you really resisted all the way unto blood, striving against sin? Have you really done your best? Is that really the excuse you have for God? God, I did the best I can. Can you look God in the eye and say, God, I did the best I could all my life to keep your law? Really? I doubt it. I don't think you do. I really don't think you do. If you say you do, you sound like kids. You have kids? You tell your kids to sweep the floor? And they're done, you know, in about 2.5 seconds. You say, I thought I told you to sweep the floor. Well, I did the best I could. Oh, come on. And you give them 1.5 hour lecture on doing the best you can, right? And yet, we say the same thing. I did the best I could. I don't think so. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. But I can even give you the benefit of the doubt. I won't judge your heart. Let's just say you do the best you can. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like this wind have taken us away. You are so proud of yourself and your accomplishments. You are so proud of what you've done and what you haven't done, and you really think that because of that you deserve to go to heaven because you've done the best you can. God said that your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You think they impress God? Hey, everything we do is tainted with sin. Everything we do is tainted with our wrong motivation. Everything we do is tainted with bad thoughts and bad intentions. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Doesn't impress God. You may say, well, what I meant to say was I try to keep them. I mean, you know, you have to just try. None of those words I can't find in the Bible. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, I did find the word try, interestingly enough. I did find the word try and tried, you know, in the Bible. And interesting, it never talks about trying to do your best. It talks about, you know, trial by fire, being silver tried in the fire, gold tried in the fire. But you can find the word try to do your best or try to keep the law. That's not good enough for God. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments doesn't cut the mustard with God. You should know it doesn't work in your home. When your wife tries to get the meal done on time, are you content? Honey, I tried to get it done. Yeah, but it wasn't done. I'm hungry. Well, I tried. Well, try harder next time, yeah? Yeah. You try to keep them, and you think that makes it right? That's the same thing? Hey, trying and doing are two different things. Look at Romans chapter 2. No, I really am amazed at how we can justify our sin and make ourselves look good. And when I talk to people and I say, well, tell me, sir, do you keep the Ten Commandments? And sometimes they'll say, well, I never killed anybody. And sometimes they'll say, well, I try to keep them. Now, what they mean is there are two different things. I never kill, but the other 9, I just try to keep them. Because they never say, well, I try not to kill people. I mean, come on. No, that's the one they can say, I never do it. But the rest of them, they have to say, well, you know, I just try. But if I were to tell you, you know, I'm going to make it to heaven because I try my hardest not to kill people. You would say, I don't think you're going to make it, buddy. Something tells me you're on the way to hell. And yet you think that since you try to not covet, and you try to not lie, and you try to not steal, and you try your best to do all these things, that justifies you. And you would condemn anybody who told you, I try my best not to kill people. What's the difference? We are amazing how we can justify ourselves and condemn everybody else. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It's not enough to hear it, not enough to know it. The Bible says if you want to be just by the law, if you want to be justified by the Ten Commandments, you've got to do them. Actually do them. Actually not commit those sins. It doesn't say the attempters. Or those who try real hard, it says the doers of the law. Well, look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever, that means you, that means me, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And you really think that because you keep one law, one commandment, you're innocent of all? Hey, God said, if you kept all of them but one, and you break the last one, you're guilty of all of them. You say, how can that be? Hey, it's the same God. It's the same God you're offending. However you offend Him, you offend Him. If you kill somebody or if you lie, if you steal or if you covet, you've offended the same God. Trying to keep them won't do it. You ask me, well, you mean I shouldn't try to keep the Ten Commandments? That's not the issue. The issue is you shouldn't think that trying to keep them is the same thing as keeping them. You're deceiving yourself. You shouldn't consider trying equal to doing. That's the problem. I'm not saying don't try to keep the Ten Commandments. You know what? If you just tried to keep them, you'd be a whole lot happier. I'll admit that. You'd have a happier marriage, a happier family, better job, and better relationship at work. But trying to keep the Ten Commandments won't get you to heaven. Why? God says you are obligated to keep all of them. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you ought to be honest with yourself. Quit trying to fool God and yourself. You can't fool God. You're just fooling yourself. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty clear. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All things? You mean all of them? That's what it says. If you don't keep all of them, you're cursed. You're condemned. If you don't keep all of them, you deserve punishment for your sin. Trying to keep them might make you happier, but it won't make you, it won't send you to heaven. It'll send you to hell. Don't call trying keeping. Trying is not keeping. Admit it. Well, maybe you think, well, you know, I don't go for this Ten Commandments stuff anyway. I mean, I never thought the Bible meant, you know, much anyway. I mean, it's just a book written by men. I don't respect the Bible anyway. I mean, anybody could have written that, and how do we know that it's really, you know, true? And how do we know they didn't make mistakes copying and all this stuff? And you have all your excuses to discredit the Bible. All your arguments to insist that the Bible is like any other book. It's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with you about that one now. Maybe later. Look in James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, well, see, that's in the Bible, though. I mean, I don't agree with that. Are you sure? Really? You say, no, because I don't think there's the Ten Commandments at all. I don't think it has anything to do with keeping God's commandments. I just think that if you just live according to your own conscience, that's good enough. Fine. Fine. I'll buy that. Because God buys that. You have your own conscience. Your conscience tells you what's right and wrong. Let me ask you a question. Do you live according to your own conscience? Do you do always what your conscience tells you you ought to do? And do you not do all those things your conscience says, you know, you really shouldn't do this? Really? You always walk according to your conscience? You always do that which you know is right? And you never do that which you know is wrong? Come on. Some guy asked me one time, he said, well, I don't believe the Bible, so you tell me what is sin? I said, very simple. In your case, most definitely sin is all those things that you do about which you criticize your neighbor. Yeah, your neighbor lies, and you say, he shouldn't lie, and you do the same thing. Your neighbor gossips, and you get mad at him for gossiping. Or your neighbor cuts you off on the freeway, and you cuss him out. And then the very next exit, you cut off somebody else. Hey, you condemn other people. You condemn yourself when you do the same thing. You know what's good? You don't do it? Look in Romans. Romans chapter 2. Say, well, what about all those people that don't know the Ten Commandments? Well, number one, why do you care? Give me a break. You really concerned about those people who don't know the Ten Commandments? I mean, you say that. You say, well, what about all those people in Africa? Do you really care about 10 people in Africa? Well, what about all them people that never heard the gospel? Are you really concerned about them? I don't think you are. You know what I think? I think you're concerned in condemning God to justify yourself. If you can convince yourself that God has no right to condemn someone in Africa because they never knew the Ten Commandments, then that means that God can't condemn you either. You just pretend, be concerned about those who don't know. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things which are contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. I mean, face it, the Ten Commandments is really pretty basic. It's basic stuff. Most people who don't believe in God agree that most of the Ten Commandments is good. Even those who don't believe the Bible, those who don't believe in God. In fact, many of them are more sincere than a lot of religious people today. They're just fed up with religion. They're fed up with hypocrites who say, well, you know, God keep the Ten Commandments and never keep them and justify themselves. I've talked to some atheists and I understood their problem. They just never heard the truth. They've been in churches all their lives full of hypocritical priests who pretend to say, to know the truth and don't have a single clue about how to get saved. There is an answer. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't throw God out because churches are hypocritical. Don't deny God just because your priest was a homosexual. Now, God's fault. Gentiles who have not the law, when they do, by nature, those things contained in the law are a law unto themselves. When they, in Africa, have a tribal meeting and they condemn their neighbor because he committed adultery with one of the wives or because he stole something or whatever, when they do those things, they are admitting that they understand the difference between right and wrong. Do you know the difference? I think you do. The question is, do you always do right? Do you follow your conscience? Because if you don't, you're condemning yourself. Well, that answer doesn't work either, does it? Living according to your conscience doesn't give you any more hope than the first answer. Keeping the Ten Commandments. You fail all of them. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you really think you'll escape the judgment of God? Why should you? You condemn others for doing the same thing. You know, people get really hot under the collar when you talk about capital punishment, and that's not the issue today, but you know, in Poland, it's definitely out of the question. I mean, there is no capital punishment in Poland. I'm not sure. I don't think anywhere in Europe there's capital punishment. But I've talked to people about that, you know, just to shoot the breeze, you know, and things. And they say, no, you can't have capital punishment because Jesus said we ought to forgive people. Okay, sounds good. So what should we do to this guy who killed his neighbor or killed his wife? We ought to put him in prison for life. You call that forgiveness? Come on now, let him go. Forgive him. Jesus said forgive. Okay, I'll buy it. Just be consistent. Amen. If you want to say forgive, then do it. Don't pretend that you are more forgiving than I am. When I say the man who sheds blood already had his blood shed by man, and you say no, he ought to be forgiven. Let's put him in the penitentiary for life. Come on. You condemn yourself. You say that God can't condemn people. How many times have you told someone that made you mad at work or at school or at play or wherever when you get so angry? Maybe it's a street preacher you got mad about. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's who knows who. And you get so angry and you say, just go to hell. And you say, God can't send people to hell. He has no right to do that. I suppose you do, huh? Isn't that amazing? We condemn God because he says that if you die without Christ, you'll go to hell. And yet we get mad at somebody and condemn them to the same place. Do you really understand yourself like God sees you? I hope you do. That is the only way you can ever get saved, is to understand who you really are, how God sees you. It says here, thou art inexcusable. You have no excuse. You say God can't condemn you, and you condemn others all the time. We expect God to overlook all the sins that we could never overlook in other people. That is right. Woe is me. Well, some people think that, well, you know, of course, you can't keep the Ten Commandments, and you know, I really don't always try, and sometimes I'm weak, and sometimes I do wrong, and sometimes I choose wrong, and sometimes I sin against my own conscience, but you know, I've got my religion. That's always my ace in the hole. I've got my religion. I got my church. I got my priest. I got my confession. I got my sacraments. I got something to help me out because I can do these things. Isn't it amazing? Now the truth comes out. You know, when I first ask you how to be saved, you say, by keeping the Ten Commandments. And then when you realize how hopeless you are, well, you know, I got the priest. Hebrews chapter 10. I've talked to people on the street, you know, about the gospel, and sometimes they're even Jehovah's Witnesses who think that they really are, that they have more hope than somebody in another religion. They think that since they don't bow down to images, that they're going to heaven. Let me tell you something, my friend, today. Listen well. Just because you quit bowing down to images doesn't mean you deserve salvation. Just because you don't pray to Mary anymore doesn't mean you have salvation. Just because you don't confess your sins to a priest anymore doesn't mean you have salvation. Because Jehovah's Witnesses have done just that. They have quit confessing to a priest. They despise them. They have quit praying to Mary, and they have burned all their idols. But you know what they think? They think to be saved, and if you don't believe me, just ask them. They'll tell you. Every time. Just ask them. How to be saved? Well, you know, you have to know the name of God. And that tells you right away who they are. It's a given. It's easy. When their first answer is, you must know the name of God, mark it down, they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Because they don't think Jesus is the name of God. And they say, well, and you have to preach the gospel. That's the second condition. And you have to do your best to keep the Ten Commandments. And when they say all that, you know, and I tell them, well, you know, but do you keep them? Well, no, but you gotta try. You gotta do your best. Okay, fine, but do you do your best? Well, you know, I fall sometimes and I do these bad things, you know, but you know, you just gotta keep on doing your best. I said, yeah, but understand, you don't do your best. You don't keep them, you break them, and God says you deserve to go to hell. And then they say, well, you know, God is merciful. Well, that's an interesting answer now, after the fact. I mean, when your first answer is you got to keep the Ten Commandments, that tells me you're not trusting in God's mercy. You are trusting in your own works, in your own accomplishments, in your own sacrifices. And if by some reason, for some reason, by chance, you make a few mistakes, you've got your ace in the hole, God's mercy. That won't do it. Sorry. You see, God has mercy on sinners. God has mercy on humble sinners that confess who they are. He has no mercy on proud hypocrites who pretend to be better than other people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Underline that word never. It means never. It means not on your life. It means no chance. A priest, an earthly priest, who is a sinner like you and me, can never take away your sins. I don't care how much he knows. I don't care how many languages he speaks. I don't care how nice he dresses. Doesn't matter. He's a man. He's a sinner like you and me. He cannot take away sins. And if you're trusting today in a priest who is a sinner, you are trusting in the wrong priest. He can't do it. Maybe he wants to. It has nothing to do with what he wants to do. God doesn't accept him, much less his sacrifice. Look at verse chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One man, one sacrifice forever. Jesus Christ paid the only sacrifice that God demands, the only sacrifice that would ever save your soul, the only sacrifice that could ever atone for your sins was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's all you need. You say, I believe that. Then why are you still confessing to a priest? Why are you still boasting in how much you do? Why are you still insisting that you deserve to go to heaven because you've done this and haven't done that? You're not trusting Jesus, you're trusting yourself. And by the way, if you're thinking, well, you know, if you can't keep the Ten Commandments, why did God even give him in the first place? That's a good question. Look at Romans chapter 3. You can't be saved by the Ten Commandments. Number one, because you don't keep them. That's enough in itself. But look at this one here. I hope you understand this principle. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know, guess what? You can know some things. People don't like that. When you say you know something, well, who do you think you are? Well, but I know something. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There is the answer right there. You can be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Number one, because you don't keep them. Wake up. Number two, because the law was never given to save you. Guess what? It was given to show you who you really are. Do you know who you are? God's been trying to show you for a long time who you really are. Are you just kidding yourself? Saying, I'm trying to keep them. And God says, yeah, I know. You're trying, but you're failing. Therefore, you don't keep them. Now, if you don't keep them, you need something. You don't need an earthly priest. You don't need religion. You don't need sacraments. You need Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, who paid for your sins. And if you'll simply humble yourself, call upon him today, he'll save your soul. That's what salvation is. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, this is a jailer. This is a man who is not saved. And he's asking a question to the Apostle Paul and his co-worker Silas. And here is the answer of the Apostle Paul. All here should listen. Here is the voice of the man of God, Paul the Apostle. Verse 31. And they said, keep the Ten Commandments. Did they say that? Oh, sorry. He said, just do your best. Do the best you can. Or just try to keep the Ten Commandments. Or just live according to your conscience. No. What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe you'll make it. Yeah? I mean, if all goes well, if you try your best, I mean, if the priest really does his job, no. Believe. And thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. That is the gospel. That is hope. Religion has never given you hope in all your life. They have always told you, do your best, and maybe someday in the future, if your mom and dad pay enough masses for you, if you did your very best, if all goes well, if everything falls into place, you just might have a chance to maybe somehow hope to make it someday. That's the hope they give you. No chance. No hope. You can know. You can know today. Look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You believe in Jesus? Amen. You believe he's God's Son? Amen. You believe he came to this world? Amen. I don't really care right now which religion you're of. That's not the issue right this very moment. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Keep reading. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. Amen. Guess what? This was written for a particular purpose. God had a reason in writing these words. You know what it was? That you may know something. You don't have to die doubting. You don't have to die not knowing. You can die knowing. You can be sure. Why? Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. Amen. He died for you. You don't deserve it. You never will. But he died for sinners. And if you're a sinner, he died for you. And he'll save you today. If you call on his name, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Nothing to do with baptism, or sacraments, or church, or giving your money. It has to do with believing that Jesus already paid for your sins. You can be saved today. You can know today. By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call today. Don't wait any longer. Humble yourself. Confess to God. He knows who you are. Just admit it and ask God to forgive you, and He promised to save your soul. Amen.